core of that subject is the fact that even though we've been learning all of these details so far from Mar Perek about when the boss can pull out, when the workers can pull out, when they can't, what are the consequences if they do, Tarumis, Dabar Avid, the whole story, all of those details. Nonetheless, the Gemara tells us a din that appears in our parak, but appears also in our previous parak, in the first parak above Metziah, as well as elsewhere, that there is a rule, which essentially seems to boil down to one detail, while having many other details that could sprout out of it, and that's part of what we have to see. But on some level, and we also discussed that it could be, there might be technical details which may obscure this in practice, but on some level, a worker who is a poel, specifically, meaning he works by the hour of the day, but not by the job, a worker who is a poel has the right to back out at any point. And if he does so, he will be the one who is advantaged. So we gave an example. Let's say a day's work costs $10, and he pulls out after exactly half a day, so he's entitled to $5. But let's say the rate of workers go up, so now it's going to cost you $12 a day for a worker. So to get a worker for the other half of the day, that you're left hanging, so it's going to cost you $6. So originally you were going to pay $10 to get a day's work, now you're going to have to pay $11. So you might say, listen, I'm entitled to still pay $10, so I'll take the extra dollar I got to pay out of the first guy's cut, because he left me hanging. So instead of paying him $5 for the day work, the half day's work, I'll only pay him $4. Nothing doing, he gets the whole $5. He's totally justified in what he did. He's entitled to his salary. You can't say to him, listen, you messed me over, and therefore I'm taking it out of your salary. So what we discussed yesterday, or we started to at least put out there, is that the Gemara links this to a pasuk. This seems to be a din on some fundamental level of ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, says the Gemara, lo avadim la avadim. That the Jews are, and this is, as we said, a topic very relevant to the around Pesach season, whether it's before or after Pesach, but the mentality is very much there, that the avadim, we were freed as avadim from Mitzrayim to become avadim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're not allowed to become avadim to human beings. And even though there is a concept of an Eved Ivri, as we know, but the Eved Ivri is considered to be in violation of something. The Eved Ivri is not a role model for us. So apparently, there is some comparison to be drawn between a poel and an Eved Ivri. We have not yet fully explored how full that comparison is, but to some degree they share certain common elements, and enough so that we're afraid that the job description of a poel comes dangerously close to being the job description of an Eved. And since we can't have a status of avdus anymore, there's something we have to do to limit the poel arrangement. And that prompts a couple questions. One question was, is this an azhara to really the boss? Basically saying, boss, you should know that there are employees' rights. And that many different roles you could play in society. Like we said yesterday, you could be an employee, you could be an employer, you could be a customer, you could be a patient, you could be a doctor. There's many different roles you could play in society, and very often you find that a certain role comes with certain expectations and rights. A customer has certain rights, a patient has certain rights, an employer has certain rights. And maybe it's an employee's right that he has to be able to pull out at any time because he is entitled to not be treated like an Eved. That's what the pasuk tells us, and therefore it's his benefit. Or should we say that no, maybe this is not about his rights, but we're actually talking to him, and we're telling him, you, employee, you have a personal achrayus not to let yourself become an Eved. It would be wrong of you to become an Eved because of ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, and in which case it's something similar perhaps to ribbis, in which it looks like it's a civil law, it looks like this is a benotim l'chaver or mamonis idea, but really it's a more of a yordea kind of concept, more of an adam l'makom kind of concept, and it's one that puts a burden on who you might normally think is the victim. So just like in ribbis, not only can't you charge interest, But even the quote-unquote victim can't pay interest, even if he wants to. So to here, you might think this is a benefit of the worker, but we're telling the worker he doesn't even have the right to put himself in a situation which is too close to for comfort to obvious, even if he wants to. And that's one of the questions we put out there on the table to try to figure out what exactly is the impact of this interpretation of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avad. We also mentioned that it's a question that's also beneath the surface here. What's the idea of a poel? Is it Torah to recognize a poel with a certain set of rights and expectations that has its own inherent significance? And maybe it's different than all kinds of other interactions, that maybe basically whatever kind of business dealings any two Jews may have with each other, really it's basically based on whatever terms they set. But we have certain shorthand because there are certain common kinds of arrangements, a customer, a seller, a lender, a borrower, a renter, whatever it is, we have certain types of common scenarios, so we have a shorthand for what the expectations are. But maybe a poel is not like that. Maybe a poel is an official Torah category that has its own rules that transcends anything that we deal and anything that we transact between ourselves. So those were some of the questions that we put out there yesterday. And we also looked at the Gemara and Daf Yud in the first parak, which introduces a whole other element and talks about the question of whether a worker, if he finds some property that he wants to keep while he's working, so is that his or is it belong to the boss? And that the Gemara throws into there, well, what about Pol Yochel Achsu B'chatzi Hayom? And does that therefore indicate that if he can quit, that means he's not really working for the boss in the fullest sense? So therefore, we shouldn't treat him like an extension of the boss, he's his own man? Or does it mean he's still working for the boss, but it just has this escape clause? That all opened up a whole new avenue to this question. So let's try to just take this a little bit further in the very few minutes that we have. Now, it's also interesting just to think about this, because so if we're connecting this to this pasuk of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, so still, whatever it is, whether it's a din in the boss, a din in the employer, a din in anybody, it's interesting, we'll see from some of the discussions and some of the makoros here, that it's not absolute, right? It's clear that there are a lot of halachos that can mitigate it, there are a lot of circumstances that can mitigate it, and it's also not all or nothing. But there are certain details that can be brought into the discussion. So it seems like we have some kind of a general idea here that the Eved, that the Poel should not be too similar to an Eved, and that we're not 100% committed to any one detail or another fully representing that connection. So that's also something to be sensitive to. Is it that there's one detail that makes a Poel into an Eved, and that's what we got to avoid? Or is it basically a cumulative effect of different details, and we can mix or match different points, and maybe it's just a broad Torah idea that the Eved and the Poel should be different from each other, and it's not necessarily that there's one factor that links them too much to the other. So in other words, when here the Gemara says, Pol Yochel Achsu B'chatzi Hayom, it could be that there's less of an interest in that halacha specifically, but rather, maybe the Torah is not really telling us that a Poel has the right to quit specifically, but the Torah is telling us Poel should not be like an Eved. What is it that makes a Poel like an Eved, and what is it that we have to account for? A couple of things. So it's not the Torah is necessarily telling us that the Poel should be able to quit. The Torah is saying something more broadly, that the Poel yachal achsu b'chatzi, the Poel should not be like an Eved. And it could be there are a number of other details that may or may not represent this connection between the Poel and the Eved, and essentially the Torah is just telling us to separate them, whatever details reflect that separation. You follow the question? Does it make sense? I'm not sure if that was that. Should I say it again? I guess I should say it again? Okay, so I will ask him around the question.
Okay, so is an Eved, if an Eved isn't paid,
Mm-hmm. Correct, so, it would seem to, except...
So then, by saying that a poll can back out, it must be that there's one problem with the poll, that he's signed into a contract to do either a job or to work for a day, then that's restricting his ability to govern himself in a way.
So you could be right, but just to address your first sentence, right? Is there such an obvious difference that the Eved is not paid and the Poel is paid? Maybe not, because somebody's getting paid. So if somebody purchases an Eved, so he pays the previous owner. But especially when we talk about an Eved Ivri, right, so the person sold himself into slavery. So he could either do that at the beginning, let's say, or he could do it in pieces by making himself a salaried worker. But it's not such a fundamental difference. If that's the only difference, it's not so significant, because it's either that he got this money or it was a debt from the very beginning, or he's getting his salary, you know, bi-weekly paycheck. But essentially it's all going to boil down to the fact that he received something in exchange for taking this on, and now he has a working arrangement that's fairly distinguishable. So if that's the only difference, that might not help us so much.
Right, so it has to be a difference of...
something else. Right? The fact that he's getting paid might not be substantially different from why he ever agreed to be an Eved Ivri in the first place. So that might not be enough to figure it out. So just to restate what I was trying to say before is... I'm sorry, speaking quickly because of the short time, but basically my question is like this. The Gemara says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, the Pasuk tells us you're a slave to God, not a slave to people. So therefore, Poel yochel lachzer b'chatzi yom. A Poel can quit whenever he wants. So the question I wanted to ask you, which is really, I guess, the third fundamental question that we've already laid out here in terms of this whole sugya, is the Torah really, is the Gemara telling us that there's a din min ha-Torah that a Poel could quit? Is that really what the Torah is coming to tell us? Or is the din min ha-Torah something more abstract? And saying that you have to make sure that the working arrangement you have with the Poel, or whoever we're talking to, the employer or the employee, one of them has to, or both of them, have to make sure that whatever deal they're making does not look too much like Avdus, does not exist too much like Avdus. And if it does, that's a problem, and you have to make it in a way that it's not Avdus-like. So maybe there are a couple ways you could do it. Maybe it's not so much that we're so concerned he has to be able to quit. That's just one representative example of how you could differentiate between a Poel and an Eved. But maybe there are other types of things we could throw into the mix in either direction. Maybe he might end up looking like an Eved even if he could quit, if certain things are tweaked. Or maybe we could have a scenario where he can't quit, but he's still not an Eved because other things about the arrangement are so different that nobody would call him an Eved. It's an important halacha l'maisa question, right? Because one thing we'll discuss, we'll see in a moment, this is discussed in Rishonim, if a person signs a contract for a length of time, so is he not essentially putting himself into Avdus? And is that a problem? So we'll see, it's not so pashut. If you've got to see, I don't know if you've seen the Mordechai, for example, do you see the Tosfos in Kedushin? So we'll try to look at it a little bit together. So these are important questions. Can you go in either direction? Can you preserve this din of the Poel quitting and still have a problem? Or can you really kind of contract out this din but still not have a problem because there are other differences? So that's a third basic fundamental question we could ask. What is the real intent of this pasuk? Is the pasuk to tell us the Poel should be able to quit? Or we don't care so much about that, we only care that the Poel-Eved relationship should be differentiated from each other. I think Michael was up first, then John.
Yeah, Tosfot on Daf says that we hold like the Rabbanim that Yad HaPoel Elyona is by a Poel specifically, but by a Kabbalah where it's a contractual agreement, this won't apply.
Right. Yeah, no, that's clear from me. Yeah, no, very much. So that's clear. So just to bring out the point that you're emphasizing, is that there's definitely a difference between a Poel and a Kabbalah. Why is it that they're different? Because we understand that a Kaplan who's doing a job, and he'll do it whenever he does it, so there's nothing about that looks like slavery. That's craftsmanship. But when somebody's selling you their time, that starts to scare us a little bit. When somebody is there for a set period of time, regardless of how long a job actually takes, so we start to be worried that has a little bit of a Eved kind of similarity. And now, again, we have to try to zero in on what is it that fully creates that relationship. But clearly, Poel is closer to an Eved than a Kaplan is for that reason, because his time is there. So let's look, for example, to Tosfos in Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So I'll encourage you to look at it yourselves tomorrow, but just to tell you what it talks about. So the Gemara, if you ever learn the first parak of Kedushin, you probably skip this part if you learn the first parak of Kedushin. If you learn the first parak of Kedushin, you probably learn the beginning of the first parak of Kedushin, where it talks about Kinyani Kedushin. But the first parak is 40 blot long, so this is another section of itself while still not being anywhere near the end of the first parak. But, you know, towards the end of the first half of the first parak of Kedushin, there is a discussion about Avadim. So in this context, so we know the Torah says that an Eved's term is essentially 6 years. Right? That at the beginning of the seventh year, you're supposed to let the Eved go. So if we say the Eved's term is 6 years, what happens if the Eved was sick the whole time? So do we say, all right, so bad luck for the owner. It happened at a bad time for him, but now the Eved's lucky. He didn't have to work all this time, and now he's free. Or do we say, no, the Eved owes the Baal 6 years of work, and he was sick the whole time, so he owes those years. So in that context, the Gemara considers that possibility if he was sick for 6 years. Or what if it was halfway? Right, so what if chalosh shalosh yavet shalosh? So then this line of Gemara says, Eino chayiv lahashlim. So if he was sick for 3 and he worked for 3 years, he could work for half of it, so then he doesn't have to fill in the rest. Chalakol sheish chayiv lahashlim. If he was sick all 6, then he'd have to make it up. That's one line from the old discussion, but just that's the context that we're talking about. I don't want to get to the whole sugya, but it's enough to understand where Tosfos is coming from. So Tosfos over there says, okay, so if he was sick for 3 and he worked for 3, so he doesn't have to make up the other 3 years. So apparently that's the din in Avdus, that if he's sick for some of the time, he doesn't have to make it up. So Yesh ha'yirotzim lomar, says Tosfos in the beginning, she'osam schirim melandi tinokos. Let's say you hire a worker by the hour to tutor your kids. And it's very practical stuff that we show them bringing. You hire somebody to tutor your kids. And they're sick half the time. So m'chalu chatzi zman, kamo kein lo hayu mashlimin esmanim. So maybe it's the same thing. But if you hired a tutor for your kids, you hired a rabbi for your kids, and he's sick half the time, so we'll say, all right, that's what we see from this din of Eved Ivri, that he's not obligated to make up the time. It's your loss. Your bad luck that the guy you paid for was sick during the time that you wanted him to work, or part of the time at least. So therefore, we see from Eved Ivri, he lucked out by being sick. So, Kamo Eved Ivri Dahacha, V'yidlu Kolas Chiris, and they should be like the Eved Ivri that Gemara is talking about, and they should get paid for the whole time. Kevin Shahayu Anusin, because they were on this. So says Tosfos, that's what some people want to say. V'kasha, that's difficult to say. D'v'perek ha'soicher ha'somnin, because in our Gemara that we just made reference to, Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph, Ka'amar Rav, Po'al Yochel Achse, Bo'al V'yafilu Chatzi Hayom. What's Tosfos trying to say over there? Why is that a kasha? Because Tosfos is telling us that there's a fundamental difference between a poel and an Eved Ivri. That there's something that is represented there that has all kinds of ripple implications in terms of different dinim. But the din of chol poel yochel achse b'chatzi hayom doesn't just mean that he could quit. It indicates a fundamentally different kind of relationship between the two. So an Eved Ivri, he's essentially yours, so to speak. But that means that you're not really paying for his labor, you just have the reality of his being yours. So if you're not able to use him because he's sick, at least if it's only half the time, so then that's your problem, it's not his problem. But a poel, it's not the same kind of relationship. The fact that he can quit during the daytime in the middle of the day, rather, that shows you that he's not treated like an Eved. You're paying him because he's working, and if he's not working, then maybe he shouldn't get paid. So already that sentence is important, and you should look at the rest of the Tosas, because that already shows you that this Din Kol Yochel Lachzor is not only its local concept, but it has all kinds of implications in terms of what the nature of this relationship is.
Why is that different than the Paul who just quits the moon his work and you still have to pay him?
You still have to pay him for the time that he did.
But if you're talking about paying him to do a specific job, if he didn't do the job, then
you don't get a poll, you don't pay for a specific job. That's a cobbler, you pay for a specific job.
No, but according to the Tosfos, we're not paying for his time really.
No, we are. We're paying for his working time.
His
so the difference, time. Yeah, the difference is a little more subtle. That basically you have, it'll come out based on this distinction, you have three categories. Right, a cobbler, he does a job specifically. It doesn't matter how long it takes him. If it takes him a minute, it takes him 10 hours, it takes him 3 weeks, he'll charge you per the job. Obviously, he'll calculate his rates based somewhat on what it normally takes, but it's not, he's paying you for the job. You're paying him for the job. That's a kavan. A poel, you're paying him for his hours, his working hours. He's working 1 hour, you're paying him for 1 hour. Working 5 hours, you're paying him for 5 hours. An eved, according to what this Tosfos sounds like, is that you essentially, so to speak, own him. And that you have the right, as his owner, to make him work. But if he's not working because it's impossible, he's sick, he can't work, so then that's your loss. You know, like let's say, for example, I rent the Moshe Vada Vadomer, Lahavdil, talking about inanimate objects, but let's say I rent a car. And I rent the car for 5 days, and it turns out because of something wrong with the car they gave me, not anything I did, 3 of those days the car just won't work. So I can say, listen, I paid you 5 days rental, and the 3 days the car doesn't work. And I don't want to pay for those 3 days, and you have a good case. You paid for days of using the car. But let's say you bought a car that you expect to last for whatever, a year, and it ends up that it spends 2 months in the shop. So if you go back to the car dealer and say, I want 1/6 of my price reduced because I didn't have the car for those 2 months, presumably not, right? Presumably that's the normal risk factor. You bought the item itself under the expectation you could use the item. If it turns out that you couldn't, all right, that's your problem. You're the owner of the item. You take on all the ups and downs of the item. You follow the difference? In one case, you own the item and you're entitled to use it, but if you can't, you can't. That's your problem. And in the other context, you're paying for the usage. So if the service or the person is not providing the usage, why should you have to pay? So Tosfos says, don't assume just because the Eved Ivri has at least this 50% room to not be working that another by-the-hour employee would have the same din. No, but that's what Pol Yochel Achzer B'Chatzi Hayom tells us, that the other employee, you are paying him to work. And it's not like an Eved where you essentially have control over him. Jonathan?
In case of the Eved, is it so similar to, let's say, buying an object which you can have access to at all time? Let's say if you make a contract over time with the Eved, which say we have, let's say, a 3-year limit, whether it's a shopping or not. Mm-hmm. So, like, within that 3 years, though, you can do whatever you want with him. You can wake up at 2 a.m, like, to drive a
car. No, so then you have halachos of what's humane and what's fair or not.
That's right.
Right, so, but that's part of the details of ownership, the same way, like, you have other areas of life where even though you may own something, but there's still just limitations on what's moral to do with it. So too. So it's immoral for you to wake your Eved up at 2 o'clock in the morning and have him stand on his head and jump like a chicken for your amusement. Now, there still are principles of morality and decency in terms of how you interact with him, but essentially
even
means
you say it's complete ownership.
Right, and like you can't shoot him. You know, there are still, Prince is still a human being. You know, there's still principles of morality and decency in terms of how you interact. But basically, in terms of his productivity is an asset of yours, as opposed to a poel. A poel should not have that kind of relationship. You know, the whole idea, this whole Eved concept is really very wrong, even though it exists. But the Torah says you should not be avadim anymore. So to enter into that kind of a structure where somebody else essentially owns your productivity is a betrayal of your allegiance to God.
I don't think I understand the case Tosfos is bringing. The tutor, is he being paid by hour or for the job?
He's being paid by the hour.
So if he doesn't work half the time, then he doesn't get paid half the time. What's the issue?
So it may seem obvious to you. It seems obvious in the end to Tosfos also. But Tosfos quoted Yesh, that there are some people who think that since we see that in Eved Ivri, if he doesn't work the whole time, it still doesn't have to make it up.
Why do you think to say that?
Because maybe you would think that the fact that you're paying for somebody's time makes them essentially a paid Eved.
You took the risk.
Yeah, that maybe the same way the Eved is yours and you have the hours, you own them. So too, you own the worker's hours. And the truth is, it's not as crazy as it sounds, because in contemporary labor relations, we do have a concept of sick leave and vacation. You know, there is an expectation that sometime you could be on the employer's clock and still not be working and still get paid. So there is such a notion. So that's what this opinion is saying, that maybe that's what the Gemara tells us, that we see from Eved that that's the case, that if there's an onus, if he's sick and he can't work, he gets paid anyway, so to speak. He gets his time of avda served. So too, let's say the tutor, if you say, I want you to work 10 hours, and five of them he ends up sick, you have to pay him for 10 hours because that's the same deal. So says Tosfos, not true, because there's a fundamental difference between the Poel and the Eved. Now Tosfos is much longer than this and goes to explain it a little bit more, so please try to see it tomorrow. We really didn't get so far. I guess this is not the kind of day we were going to accomplish a lot, but tomorrow we'll try to get much further. The end of Tosfos is especially important. Tosfos is a very important Tosfos to see, so again, it's not on the actual sheet, but please add it to your sheet. What's next going to come up in this Tosfos, we'll see significance to a three-year period. That's very important. Three-year becomes the definition of what a sacher is. An Eved in the Torah is 2 times 3, is twice a sacher. And we'll see tomorrow a lot of significance in terms of a three-year period. And also try to see the ksos, which you put on, major issues in terms of what exactly is the mechanism by which a poel has the right to quit. So a lot of major stuff to do. Sorry?
There's a lot of significance.
Yeah. So a lot of major stuff to do. So let's hopefully get going tomorrow. We'll get a lot farther.
Tosfos
Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Dibra Maskol Chala. All right, everyone should have a Chag Sameach. We'll see you it's in the gym. Right, as soon as Hoda is in the gym, we'll...
There's also
barbecue. Yeah, right, the barbecue is outside.
What? Okay. Oh. The, I want to ask the...